Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. You're joined by myself, Lawson, got Aaron in the studio.
Very good morning to you all.
Producer Shell in the producer seat, getting it done. We have Jennifer Skews on the line. We're going to get to her in a little bit. We just needed to get two things out of the way. Firstly, an answer for the quiz.
So quiz number two, which was the harder one for you guys, was Son of Man.
Yeah.
Ezekiel was called Son of Man as well.
Good on you guys.
He was the only other person other than Jesus that was called the Son of Man.
Lots were called Son of God, but he was the only one who was called Son of Man.
Yeah,
we did not get that right.
Oh, we were close. I'm like, Son of God.
Some of you did.
But you guys were doing awesome. Hey, we also had a text message come through from Deanne. She said, good morning. Can you please greet my little man / grandson, Samuel, who is 4 years old today. Happy birthday, Sam.
Happy birthday, Samuel. Yeah.
So shout out, Sam. You. And I love the little tag at the end here. Love Lala. And I'm assuming that's Lala is like the, you know, the kind
well
of
done,
pet, pet grandma name. So shout out. Like that's that. Awesome. Oh, shout out,
good
Lala.
Morning, Samuel. And happy birthday to you.
Big 4 years old, man. Life goes fast.
Wonder what you did for your fourth birthday, hey?
Absolutely. And hey, we got to let you know about our giveaway, too. Speaking of the kids, 0491 064 669 is the number to text in. Hashtag 8 is the code word to send if you want to receive 8 at a time by Andrew Dittmer and Tanya Lorena. Now, as it was said by Shell, this has actually been put out by Destiny Rescue, which is an organization we've talked to a number of times here on the Breakfast Show, which is focused completely on saving children from child slavery and these
beautiful
kind of things,
mission.
Which is awesome and an incredible mission. And this book is teaching children. Like, it's a cute book. You know, these two little cute animals
two
under
octopus.
The sea. But it's actually teaching them a lesson about, you know, child slavery and whatnot. So, hey, get this book for free, 0491-064-669. Hashtag 8 is the code word to send in. But right now we have on the line Jennifer Skews. Jennifer, how are you going?
I'm going really well, thank you.
Good morning to you, Jennifer.
Good morning.
We are so grateful that you've joined us on air this morning. Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, pleasure. I enjoy doing this segment.
Yeah. Hey, well, we get you every week because we enjoy it as well.
Well.
Hey,
and
look,
a few listeners enjoy it from what I can tell.
Absolutely.
Look, in the world of the brain, in the world of health and the body, where are we looking today?
Well, we've been looking at a major, major area that affects everything on a daily basis, and that's to do with that gut-brain relationship.
Oh, okay. This is such a hot topic lately, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And now that science knows so much more about that relationship, the more I study it, the more I learn. It's just amazing, because if we don't get the gut right, the brain can't be right. That means we suffer mentally, emotionally, physically. Disease stems from this problem. So we've been looking at what it is and how to treat it.
And it really is such a far out there concept unless you've seen the research, because we would not assume that what we put into our gut or the state of our gut could have any effect on our mood or mental well-being.
Oh, absolutely, on a daily basis. I mean, for example, just your blood sugar levels, which are to do with the gut. If they're not right and they're plummeting, you know, mentally and emotionally, you're a mess.
We all know about getting hangry, right? When you're angry because you're hungry and your blood sugar levels are low and you've just got no capacity to reason or be
not
polite.
Not at all. Yep. And we suffer mentally and emotionally when that happens. So that's just one little example. But a major problem we've been looking at and we talked about last week, well, one was stress, and we're going to come back to that eventually. But it's the cause of inflammation in the system, and that's what causes the autoimmune diseases. And we went over a whole list of them last week, and the listeners can actually Google it and look it up. And it's a bit scary when you look at it. You think, oh, no.
So this is saying that a heightened state of stress for a longer period of time places the body at risk of developing some of these autoimmune conditions.
It does. And the key is the inflammation. It's like your whole system is on fire.
And even chronic diseases too, hey, it can predispose you to that metaflammation.
Yes, because
we've got
this
health experts in this show this morning.
This is an exciting interview.
Go ahead, bar for bar. Dude, this is awesome. Keep going.
Well, what happens is with inflammation, it's like putting a furnace in the system and it does a lot of damage. And unless you bring the inflammation down, the gut can't be effective.
Yes.
And inflammation starts in the mouth.
In the mouth?
In the mouth.
In the mouth, yes. I've been doing a bit of reading and it brought to my attention that if we don't look after our mouth, and that's the first stage of the gut and it's the first stage of actually digesting food. But if your mouth is, you don't clean it properly, you leave food in there, it ferments.
Like brushing your teeth.
Yes, not brushing your teeth properly. You need to at least do it twice a day.
Yeah.
And what happens, it causes major problems. In fact, it can cause disease if the mouth is not right.
Good oral care is foundational for that gut brain health.
That is incredible.
It is, isn't it? So if you've got, if you don't go and get dental checkups, I have two cleans a year and I work on my mouth daily and using salt water washes, you know, mouth washes, things like that, simple things you can do. But that mouth hygiene is the first stage of keeping inflammation down and having, because it's the saliva that starts the protein digestion. Which is why we have to chew and do all that. So we're going to look at what else can we do. Well, one of them is when you put food in your mouth, one, keep your mouth clean. That's it. So important. But also putting the food and chewing it well.
Chewing it well, taking a long time between mouthfuls, putting a fork down between mouthfuls.
Absolutely. And slowing that process down. Often people bulk their food down, they're busy, they're in a hurry, they don't chew it properly. They're
The telly and you're mindlessly eating.
Mindlessly eating. Chunks of food go in and that means our digestion can't work with it. And this is where when we then get all that inflammation, we talked about what they call a leaky gut.
Yes.
Little holes develop in the gut lining. Food goes into the these little particles of food. They don't get chewed and digested properly, go into the bloodstream, and that's when the immune starts to attack healthy tissue because it can't identify what it is. It just knows there's a problem and they've got to go on the attack.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I love about slowing down that digestive process by chewing your food longer is that it gives your tummy time to fill up, because they say, you know, it takes it about 20 minutes for your brain to catch up with the news that it's full. And if we inhale our food, then we're like, oh, I'm still starving. But this isn't this where the Japanese, they eat to when they're 80% full, because they know that in the next 20 minutes they'll be 100% and then they don't feel overfull.
Absolutely. So chew more, slow it down. As you said, put your fork down. And, you know, I get people who, I just want to lose the weight. Well, I tell you what, if you do this, you will lose some weight because you won't be overfeeding the system.
Yeah, and not going back for seconds.
Absolutely.
Such a hard thing
and,
to do.
And getting cravings for all the wrong foods. But when you do that and the food goes into the gut and digest properly, of course, a whole lot, the elimination process works. But when you've got inflammation, you've got high acid levels, you've got a lot of toxins in the system, and this leads to disease. So if you've got an inflamed gut, what are some of the things you can do? And this is just some practical little tips. And one of them is to the types of food we put in our system, and greens are an essential for alkalizing the system.
Oh, the famous greens, hey?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can easily buy it now. If you're a busy person, you can go and buy some green powder, put it in a smoothie.
Oh, true. Yeah.
I love there's lots of things you can do.
Spinach is so good to have in the garden and then in the fridge. But when you get too much and you can't keep up, I just freeze it. Hey.
Yeah. There's actually a kind of green powdery solution my fiance uses. She puts it in capsules and takes like 2 to 3 capsules a morning, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So our first step is good oral hygiene, brushing your teeth twice a day.
Absolutely. And keeping the mouth clean.
Slowing down that digestive process by, you know, taking your time to get through the meal. And then
absolutely. Hey, greens as a major part of the day.
We've got a question regarding oral hygiene here. Johanna writes in and says, is it better to brush your teeth before or after breakfast?
Well, I find, and from what I've understood growing up, that to clean the teeth first thing, because when we're asleep at night, we can get a build-up of film and that sort of thing. And if you really want to be ingenious, you can brush your teeth afterwards as well. Just give them a quick brush. Do a salt water mouthwash or something. The thing that we can do is to keep the mouth clean is to use chewing gum, but not a sugar chewing gum. You can get one with what's called Exitol. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm reading and what I'm hearing scientifically, Exitol actually strengthens the teeth. It helps the calcium and it helps to keep the mouth hygienic, which is interesting.
Interesting. Okay. I feel like if I'm a post-meal brusher, like post-brekkie, post-dinner, because then that way you're getting rid of the food in between your teeth.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you know, like before we get here for the brekkie show, I totally brush my teeth at home, hey?
Yeah.
And then bring the mouthwash for after brekkie. But,
you can. In a perfect world. You can do a simple mouthwash, and that is, like I said, salt water is a brilliant mouthwash. Mm-hmm. And I just have it in a glass jar with a plastic lid on it, and I have it in the bathroom. Absolutely. And if I don't have time to do much more, I'll go and swill it. But then what we put in, the other one to keep inflammation down is to make sure we're well hydrated. Don't wait till you're thirsty.
But thirst is such a late sign of dehydration, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And not to drink with meals. They say about an hour before or an hour or more after a meal before you start drinking. Mm. But certainly rinsing the mouth out, or if things get caught in your mouth, I might use a small amount of water and swallow it when I'm eating, but not where we're putting in lots of fluid, because it dilutes the gastric
digestive juices. And I think this is super countercultural, because we are huge, you know, like, let's have a drink with our meal. It's kind of part of the socialization.
So I got a question regarding this. This is a Lawson question. So
okay.
Lawson's texting in.
Because I understand hydration, right? To hydrate in periods of time that are outside of your, like, heavy digestive periods, which is an hour before and an hour after, kind of the hour before preparing your belly to be able to take the food in an hour and a half and giving it, like, the best chance with, you know, your stomach acids and whatnot.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
When we talk about drinking with meals, you know, if we're like eating, you know, let's say you guys come over to my house for dinner, I'm hosting you, and we eat a bit of spaghetti and it's really yummy, and we have like a little glass of grape juice beside it. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's impacting this hydration and like even just that and not being able to digest food? Is that already making an impact?
I was going to say, if you're going to do that, just have a small glass, and red grape juice is brilliant. It's high in iron. It's got lots of nutrients.
I think but that's don't a tick, just, Lawson.
Hey, there we go.
Spaghetti at yours tonight.
Just
we're all coming.
Yeah. No sugar, no added sugar either. We have to avoid sugar like the plague. Major inflammatory cause is sugar in anything. Nice. So,
but I think the take home here, Jennifer, is what you're saying is that just a small amount, if you need to wet the whistle, but don't, you know,
don't
down.
Don't have a huge glass of downing at all.
Leave hydration part of the meal.
All right, so we've got hydration, we've got greens, we've got brushing our teeth, we've got, what was the other one?
Well, sugar, we just said.
Low sugar.
Yeah, no sugar. Slower eating is another one. But what else we put in, there are things, if your gut is inflamed, there's some very good, chamomile is brilliant for a mild anti-inflammatory. Mm. And yes, and it's actually so good for the digestion. So in between meals, we don't have to just drink water. I'll do chamomile tea. You can put it in the fridge, put a little bit of honey with it. Yeah, if you're going to have any sweetener at all, honey is your optimum. So you can put a bit of honey in it, but don't have gallons and gallons of it. But chamomile on its own I find very pleasant. The other one, a very, very good, it's called slippery elm. And I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yes.
Absolutely. And if you can't, it's a mucusy forming thing, but what it does, it lines the gut, and it's a great soother and healer of the gut. So people who have bowel problems and digestive problems, using slippery elm is excellent. You can look it up online. You can read about it, and you can buy it as a powder. You can get it in a capsule, a tablet.
And get it from where? Because I don't see slippery elm at the local supermarket.
No, you can buy it usually health shops or online. I do a lot of that sort of shopping online at a reputable health shop.
Thank you so much. I think you've given us a world of really practical tips this morning. I appreciate this link between, you know, the low level of inflammation and then predisposing to autoimmune diseases and chronic diseases. But what amazing tips. We've talked about, you know, slowing down our food, about reducing our sugar intake and our fluid with water. Jennifer, we just really thank you and appreciate you sharing your expertise this morning.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Joined by myself, Lawson, sitting across from me, my good friend Aaron. On the decks, we have none other than producer Shell, and Scaffy is off gallivanting in Japan. We haven't mentioned him yesterday. It's like he's fading out of our memories. And,
I'm sure he's having his best holiday over there.
Oh, dude, for sure.
We are so glad to have your company with us this morning, and thank you for inviting us into your home and into your car.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, this morning we've got some text messages through. We've got some quiz questions we've got a giveaway to do. But let's start with a quiz. Producer Shell.
Let's do it. In the book of Revelation, how many elders are depicted around the throne in heaven?
Ba-boom.
I'm going to submit my answer.
No.
Not quite. No.
No.
Not quite. Oh! Not quite. It's like a multiple of those
both
numbers.
Of those, yeah. Both of those numbers have one correct number.
No.
Both of the top two numbers that you did had one of the digits correct.
Are you sure it's not that one?
It's not that one, no.
All right, come on, listener. Help me out. Do you know the right answer to this? In the book of Revelation, how could these be so hard this morning?
It's actually, Revelation's tough because every single number that you've written has something to do with Revelation.
They're all wrong.
They're all the wrong number.
And they all ding a bell somewhere.
No, actually, you're right. But hey, such is life.
Hey, can you help me out this morning? What is the number of elders sitting around the throne in Revelation? Is that the right?
That's
the question that we're answering.
This number is not the correct answer, but it is the number to text in. 0491-064-669. Text in your answer.
They want to know
how many elders were depicted around the throne of heaven.
Hey, look, guys, we also have an epic giveaway for this morning. It's epic because I'm holding it in my hand and I'm looking at a beautifully illustrated hardcover children's book here, Eight at a Time by Andrew Dittmer and Tanya Lorena. And it's, look, guys, this is a children's book through and through, but it also has a super important message about why slavery is a bad thing. But it's like these cute little octopuses and they're under the sea and they're living their best lives until they're not, because they're forced to do things like, as in, you know, make bricks and all this kind of stuff
for the evil crab master. And then they get freed by these by the sharks, I think.
Something like that. Hey, no spoilers, all right?
but we would love to put it in your hands. If you've got some primary school age kids at home and you'd like to introduce to them some concepts about, you know, freeing children in need from slavery. These are big world topics that we don't often talk about in children's books. Give us a text with the code word hashtag 8, E-I-G-H-T, to our number here in the studio, 0491-064-669, and we'd love to put a copy in your hands.
That's right. I love that you spelt it, eight the number. Hey, look, if you say it in through hashtag ATE, eight as in like eating food, we'll give that to you as well.
So. Yeah, and if you send in the hashtag with the number eight, I'll still send it.
Feeling generous this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I would like to say too that I think that it's important to do heavy themes with kids.
Yeah,
You know, we did a episode a while ago here on Mr. Rogers, and he used to cover very, very heavy themes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I recommend Bluey, but I know that Bluey has covered some themes that the other countries have said, oh, no, that's too deep of a theme. We don't want to discuss that with children. But if these things are done in the correct way, children can learn incredibly important things early on before it can become a emotional issue for them.
Yeah, I just recently read, I flicked my way through a book by Pastor Tara Vincross. She was out here in Australia last week, and she wrote a kid's book on grief and loss, because these are some heavy themes that some kids are forced to experience at a really young age. And so how can we approach that in a loving, age-appropriate Christian manner?
Yeah, absolutely. These are things that, yeah, kids need to know and they can be blessed by. 0491-064-669, hashtag 8 is that code word. Hey, got some text messages coming through on the text line as well. Rachel wrote in, she said, this is a cool text message. She said, this session with Jennifer is excellent. And that it was. If you missed it, guys, you're going to have to catch up with it on our podcast. The session with Jennifer is excellent. I'd like to play it back to my grade 9 and 10 hospitalities and food tech class.
Wow.
She then says, could you please send me a link when it is uploaded?
You know how you can listen back to these? So I just type into Google Faith FM and it comes up with our website. Yep. And then you click on programs and podcasts and then the latest upload there of the Brekkie Show.
Absolutely. faithfm.com.au.
And even better, we got Jennifer Skews has her own podcast section in our podcast. So you just go straight to the Jennifer
Skews
interviews.
There you go.
Multiple ways.
Jean wrote in. She said, good morning, everyone. I would like to ask Jennifer what brand she would recommend of Slippery Elm. I'm using Caruso and Bonvit. Also for xylitol, what brand would she recommend? Thank you and God bless. Hey, we don't have that info yet, but look, we will get on to Jennifer Skews. We'll get her opinions on some brands and we can broadcast that to the rest of our listeners
as well. Do you have any ideas of types of brands that are good out there?
Absolutely none. Never used Slippery Elm in my life, but I've heard lots about it.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool that here on Faith FM, like this is live, as in as a listener, you can message us here in the studio and we can communicate with these interviewees and get like latest science evidence-based practice.
I've used Slippery Elm quite a bit because it mixes really well with charcoal when you need to thicken your charcoal into more of a paste or something like that. Yeah, it's very, very effective. But yeah, I didn't realize that it on its own was so nutritionally beneficial.
You are. Yep. Natural remedies.
There you go.
God is good.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. Let's get into our Bible study.
Yeah. If you've got your Bibles with you, we would love you to open them with us this morning.
That's right. Unless you're driving the car. Keep your hands on the wheel, you know. It feels a bit weird. Have you ever been driving on the phone with someone? They're like, hey, let me pray for you. And you're just like,
keep those eyes open,
driving along. And they're saying, so it's like, I feel like I need to close my eyes, but I shouldn't. Don't get out the Bible right now if you're driving the car. Listen to us. We're going to read the verses to you.
Let's open the Word of God together. Hey, and absolutely. Can I just pray before we do? Because this is something we like to do in our family. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of opening your word together this morning, Lord, with each person here right across Australia. And we just pray that as we dig into your scripture, you would reveal truth and apply it to each of our lives in a relevant and practical way. Amen.
Amen. Hey, we are going to open up with Revelation chapter 12. This is where we're going to begin our time this morning. So what we saw in our first session this week, we're covering the topic of the cosmic conflict. What we saw on Monday is this concept of, hey, why did these bad things happen? Why are there these bad or false ideas, these tares among the wheat in the parable of the wheat and the tares?
Why does sin exist?
That's right. And the answer was, well, an enemy has done this. So someone has done this that isn't God. This is the answer that God gives, is that someone else has done this that isn't me. Then we saw yesterday, okay, what was the practical application of that? Well, in the beginning of, you know, the history of humanity, Adam and Eve are in the garden and they're deceived by Satan into disobeying and disbelieving God and choosing a path for humanity that is separated from him, which causes death, disease, destruction, and pain. So this is kind of, you know, how that has ultimately happened. But we then come with a greater question. We're working our way, you know, backwards and backwards and backwards. And the greater question is, well, what license does Satan have to do this, to be like this? Where did Satan come from? What is his origin? What is he about?
It's like the prequel. You know how Star Wars does the previous episode?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Something like that. And we're ultimately asking the question here, like, hey, if God created everything and we're saying that Satan is the origin of evil, well, didn't God create Satan? Well, then isn't God responsible for evil? All of these kinds of questions. We did talk yesterday, I gave the illustration of the dinner party, this idea that God can't just destroy Satan out of existence.
Because that would prove Satan's point is true, which it's not.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
right.
he maintains free will, he maintains choice in all of our relationships with him so that we can we can honor him and that he can be a loving God.
Absolutely. And so it's kind of like, okay, God's solution to the problem of Satan is we can see, okay, that's really appropriate. Look, it's going to cause hardship and pain and difficulty because, you know, and this is the realm, the road that humanity has chosen to disobey God after being, you know, deceived by Satan. But the question is, well, God is dealing with the problem in the right way, but how did the problem begin? How did this start? Where did it come from? Is God responsible for that? Let's have a look. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 12. And do you want to read for us, Aaron? Pick it up for us in verse 7.
Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were enforced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels.
Okay, so we see here this war breaks out in heaven that ends with Satan being bound to this earth. Now, my question when I start to read this passage, well, a good question to ask when you come to a passage is, okay, who is involved? Who is it talking about? Who is it writing to? This kind of thing. And we see a few different characters here. We have Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels. And so we can see this divide between, well, essentially we've got Michael, the representative of God here, and his angels, and Satan and his angels. So it seems as though there's been a division in heaven of camps here. People following Michael, God's ideals, people following Satan and his ideals. Now, it says that war broke out between these people. I want to ask you the question, Aaron, how do angels fight wars? You know, is this...
Was this a physical war like what we see with the wars on this earth, or was it a war of words?
Yeah, I love asking this question to people who come to the Bible maybe for the first time. Actually, I was giving this Bible study recently. We were looking at this passage and I'm like, do you think angels like use swords and shields to war? And this person's like, oh, maybe not swords and shields, but they were like, well, maybe like angels use like lightning or something, or like, I'm like, do you think there's like heavenly guns or something like, or bombs or something like that? You know, what does it mean for angels to war? And the answer is actually in the word war itself. Now, if you're a Greek scholar, or maybe you've just heard a sermon about this particular passage, there is something to be said about the word that's translated as war here, which is originally the word polemos. Now, polemos is an interesting word in that it's applied to, yes, kind of, you know, conflict, but it's actually one of the root words, or the root word for the English word politics. So polemos is actually referring not just to physical fighting, but rather conflict through debate and ideas.
Wow.
And this is really important to understand the war.
It was a war of words.
That's right. The war that Satan is trying to wage, like, Satan has no interest in fighting a war with God with, like, literal, you know, guns or lightning or whatever, because Satan knows that he couldn't win that. So, look, Satan is pretty insane. I think that Satan is a genius because he's a smart angel. I think that going against God is something that is a bit silly to do, but Satan isn't dumb enough to think that he could literally kill God, because God is far above Satan, and Satan knows this. But what is the way that Satan can war against God? It is with words, with ideas, with debating, and with
claims about his character.
That's right, with politicking, which we saw yesterday in this experience that Satan has with, how can Satan war against God? Oh, well, he can fight his creation. And how does he fight his creation? With words, deception, politicking, if you will, political deception and insurrection and ideas being, and falsities being spread. So this is how Satan is warring in heaven, and this is how he gets people on side. Now the question is, okay, well why does this happen, right? It's like, okay, Satan, he started this war, he started this beef. Why does this happen? Why does God allow this to happen? Why is the opportunity there for Satan to be able to do this? Why would Satan even want to do this? Where does the thought and idea come from in Satan's mind that, hey, this God who's created me and provided for me, I need to, like, you know, I need to disparage people away from him. I need to slander him.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
Why would would Satan want to do that, right?
And I think we really see the answer to this in Isaiah chapter 14.
Oh, okay.
And it says, reading from verse 12, "How you have fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You've been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world, for you said to yourself," and I want you to listen in these next few verses, how often you hear the word I. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I think this is really interesting. Look at who the focus is for. Effectively, Satan said to himself, "I will ascend to the heaven and set my throne upon above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High." Right? How prideful are these verses? "I will be like the Most High. I will climb to the highest heavens." There is so much pride in Satan's motive.
"I will be like the Most High. I will be my own God." This is Satan's motivation here. He wants to, in and of himself, be the highest authority of his life. And now, like, even for, and this is, it's an interesting thing, because it's like, oh, well, how could you think that? How could you think that, Satan? How could you come to that conclusion? Look, even in heaven, and what we're actually going to learn, we're going to eventually get over to the book of Ezekiel, because it gives us some more information about Satan's background. But essentially, Satan here, he's an angel. He is close to God as an angel. And it's so interesting.
And he was a great musician, wasn't
he? He's this great musician. We're gonna read about Satan and what he was like. But you'd think, okay, if I was close to God, you know, if I was close to God and I could see his love, his power, his beauty, wouldn't that just inspire in me, like, respect for God, love for God, gratefulness towards God, right? Like, we think that, oh, man, if we were close to Jesus, right, when Jesus was on this earth, and we're seeing Jesus, like, love people and heal people and care for people, wouldn't that just inspire in us, like, such gratitude?
This awe and respect. And yet Satan had this jealousy.
That's right. This jealousy, and it was, you know, relating it to Jesus, if we were there with Jesus, like, there was this a very similar reaction from a class of people, the religious leaders. They were reacted to Jesus' love and benevolence and care and teaching with jealousy and anger and hatred and murder.
He was getting such great crowds following him, and they couldn't get those great crowds themselves. There was jealousy.
And so ultimately, like, God is, and we talked about this yesterday, you know, what is God's credential for being worshipped? Because this is huge. This is hugely important. The fact that, like, what did God have that Satan didn't have? Again, Satan had so much given to him by God as this amazing angel, which we're going to read about in a little bit. But what did Satan not have? Satan didn't have worship. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 yesterday, this idea that only God is worthy of worship because he created. The one thing that Satan didn't have that God did have, amongst other characters, like, God has a lot more characteristics that Satan doesn't have, but in terms of what God receives from the people that Satan didn't, was worship and praise. And this is what Satan ultimately wanted, and this is what he's asking for. He's wanting this freedom and this praise from people, and this is being fueled by jealousy and pride.
It's really one of those things that Satan wanted to offer Jesus back when he tempted him in the wilderness. Hey, you're like, if you submit to me, like, if you worship me, I'll give you all of these things that you created.
Oh, man. That's actually a particular passage for myself I've been, like, really honed in on recently. I've just been like, it's because, what Satan offers to Jesus, hey, you know, worship me, I'll give you authority, whatnot. I think that is a deal with the devil that people do every single day.
And we see it a lot in fame and fortune.
Yeah.
Like, if you worship me, I'll give you, you know, fame and an amazing record labels and charts and so much money, and yet do you have to sell your soul in order to get to that stage?
Look, I would even contend, so Revelation chapter 12, this is a little bit of a side, but hey, we've got some time, let's live our best lives. Revelation chapter 12, I want to show you guys something really cool that I was having a look at in Revelation chapter 12. Now, Revelation 13. Now, Revelation 13 is a passage, it's about the two beasts, the beast of the sea and the beast of the land. And if, you know, if we were sitting here with a Bible scholar and opening up a commentary, big overview picture is that this passage is a prophecy about the global powers at the end of time. The beast of the sea is a more religious power, and the beast of the earth is a more political power. And both of these powers are working together to ultimately deceive God's people, to lead them away from him. What has been indicated about the beast of the sea is that this is a form of corrupted Christianity. Okay, so this is corrupted Christianity. And look at what, this is really, really interesting here. Look at what the beast of the sea receives, it says, from Satan. So it talks about this beast of the sea in Revelation 13. In Bible prophecy, a nation is represented by a beast. We can see that in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 17. So we've got this nation, this religious nation, it's receiving, and it's looking for power, it's looking for worship, it's looking for the people to come to it. But it's really interesting here. It continues on. It says, the beast was given a mouth to utter words and blasphemies, and exercises authority for 42 months. It's opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his dwelling place, to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe and people and nation. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. So what it says here, it's given authority, it's given power, it's given, you know, this opportunity to be able to do this.
So influential.
And it says that it's given all these things, and it gives us the information in when talking about the second beast, it gives us the information that authority was ultimately given to it by the dragon. Now, what have we seen so far in the Bible, right? We've seen, who's the dragon?
We know that from what we read earlier, the dragon is the devil.
Is Satan, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this question. What did Satan offer Jesus to cause him to worship him? What did Satan offer Jesus? It was authority. It was power. It was, you know, the entire world. This is, he says, hey, worship me and I will give you authority, power, even in a sense, comfortability and safety, right? When he's like, hey, turn this stone into bread. What's really interesting, if we get into some history, and we see kind of the foundations of the medieval Christian church, which unfortunately became a massive persecutory power that, you know, wielded its influence to rise up nations and to bring them low and to war against people and to force them into submission and belief. The origins of the medieval church was this. All the Christians were being persecuted, right? All the Christians are being persecuted. This is, you know, we see through the reigns of Emperor Nero and Diocletian in the Roman Empire, they're all being persecuted until this guy named Constantine comes along. Constantine is looking at a fracturing Roman Empire, and he's asking the question here, man, how can I put my Roman Empire back together? What can I do? What is something that is common and unites the people? And he's seeing this religion that is heavily persecuted called Christianity explode, right? 1 in 10 people in the empire are Christian by the time that he becomes the emperor. And he's seeing it explode, and he's seeing Christianity do really well, and he's seeing people unite under this banner of Christianity from all different regions in the Roman Empire. And he's like, man, how can I, like, bring my nation together? Oh, Christianity. Like, that could bring all the people. Like, it's already uniting the people. I could use Christianity to rebuild my nation. And so, you know, he wins a battle, he's in the name of God, he then changes the state religion of the Roman Empire to Christianity. He then baptizes his whole army as they walk through a river, and all of a sudden, you know, you're a Christian leader living in the time of Constantine, and you've gone from persecuted to now sitting with Constantine in the emperor's palace. You've gone from being fed to lions to peace and safety. And what is then being suggested by Constantine and the further emperors of Rome is, hey, let's make some edits here to what we believe as Christians. worshipping saints, for example. You know, which
this is a reminder, you're listening to the delayed broadcast here on Faith FM. If you would like to listen to the live show live and participate in the quiz and the prizes and all the other fun things that happen on Faith FM breakfast show, then simply download the Faith FM app available on Apple or Android platforms.
It would eventually become the medieval church that would persecute people for, you know, 1500 years of the Dark Ages. And it's something that I've seen, unfortunately, the religion of Christianity in Europe took that deal that Satan was offering them for power and authority. The one that Jesus rejected, you know, at the expense of his own well-being, unfortunately, Christianity took the bait. And thankfully, because of the Protestant Reformation, we've been getting back to the Bible, back to God's word, and back to true worship that isn't based on authority or power, but based on love and a relationship with him. Hey, look, a bit of a tangent, a bit of a side, but I think some interesting information about Satan's operations.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
87.8, or 88.0 right across Australia. I mean, I'm sure if you just press tuner somewhere in that vicinity, you'll get us.
Yeah, that's right.
We are in our Encounter with God section this morning, and it's been some really good discussion. We're looking in Revelation, and we're coming into Isaiah and Ezekiel soon. But before we continue with that, Shel, would you share with us the answer to how many elders indeed are recorded as being around the throne of God in Revelation? Because I got it wrong.
How many hours in a day? It's that many.
24. Is that? Oh, how'd you go, listener at home? How did we go on the text line?
A bunch of people texting in. Yeah, killing it on the text line this morning.
Well done.
Our final one. Let's see how you guys go. In Psalms 139, what was ordained and written in God's book before they ever came to be? In Psalms 139, what was ordained and written in God's book before they ever came to be?
I got to run on the board.
Yay.
All right. We are keen to have you play along with us in this final quiz question this morning. Can you text in your answer to what was ordained in your book before came to be?
In 139 of Psalms.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was ordained and written in God's book?
Before they came to be. Text in your
answer.
I know
this passage. I'm just thinking, I'm just like, I'm locking
it right now. Recite it in your head. Walk through that. Text in your answer to our number here in the studio, 0491-064-669. It's the same number every time. You can just save it in your phone and converse with us all the time.
Is it one of these?
It is one of those.
Is it?
You're giving me her multiple choice.
Yeah. Is it this one?
C. Right answer is always C.
There we go. Yeah. If you text us in the letter C right now, it will not be the right answer. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show. We've got an awesome text message from Jason here. He says, sorry for the long text. Hey. We love it. Send them through. I thought I had this morning while reading a text about Jesus' temptation in the desert. Why do bad things happen to good people? Instead, ask, why do good things happen to bad people? There are plenty of bad people who appear to have good things happen to them. In Jesus' temptation in the desert, Luke 4:6, the devil claims, all the authority I'll give to you and their glory. And this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. The world has been given to Satan, and he can give it to whomever he wishes. We may find ourselves seeking all the good things in this world, a nice house, a good job, great car, great lifestyle, all according to this world at least. Do we think it is not in Satan's power to provide all these things? If only we turn away from God and forget him while we're chasing our human dreams. Not saying having nice things is evil and from Satan, because God too can provide extremely well, you know, as the Bible says, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hilltops, for his children and bless them. So ask yourself, who is providing me all this good?
And what are you having to sacrifice in the process?
Who is doing this for me?
Because you have to be a slave to someone, either God or the devil. But I'm, you know, right now, who was writing that in? Who are we talking to?
Jason.
Hey, Jace, thanks so much for texting in this morning. The verse that comes to my mind, Jason, is Matthew 5:45, and it says, for God gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust alike.
Mm-hmm.
And we see bad things happen to good people and we see good things happen to bad people all the time.
You know what is interesting? We see here, like from Jason's text message and kind of the previous section talking about the medieval church and its unfortunate corruption into something that didn't represent God's purposes, but ultimately vied for political and religious power and, you know, murdered to do so, is that Satan is into deals. He's into making deals. We actually see this. Let's read Ezekiel chapter 28 here. The section, the subheading of this section that we're going to read is called The Lamentation of the King of Tyre, against the King of Tyre. What's interesting is that the previous section is a lamentation for the Prince of Tyre, and it's talking to the Prince of Tyre, and then it's like, but hey, let me talk to the actual King of Tyre here, which is none other than Satan himself. You know, it's the person influencing Tyre to be an enemy towards God. And we pick it up here in verse 11. Oh, actually, we're going to read verse 12. The first question I want to ask and answer, you know, Satan, he wants to be in God's position. Is Satan wanting this because he feels as though, like, does Satan have room to feel hard done by? And, like, God treated him poorly and didn't give him enough. Do you want to pick it up for us in verse 12, please, Aaron?
Was he lacking? So we're in Ezekiel 28, verse 12. It says, "Son of man, sing this funeral song to the king of Tyre." And like you pointed out, the Prince of Tyre was an actual person, but the King of Tyre, the one influencing those decisions, was Satan.
Yeah.
"Given this message from the Sovereign Lord, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty." Wow.
Okay.
He was not lacking.
Yeah. So he's like, hey,
model of perfection.
I think we've, you know, everyone has insecurities about something, you know, maybe even things they can't control. And they're like, man, I wish I was just like this, or I was like this. Like, this guy was perfect. Like, we're talking about the most beautiful, the most attractive, the most everything you could see. In fact, you could say his beauty was perfect. He's, you know, like, I think the standard of beauty that people try to look at in literal models today is like, oh, are they symmetrical? Are they fit? And do they look healthy? Are they, you know, maybe a bit taller and things like this? It says here that he was the model for that. He was the seal of perfection, what you could call attractive and beautiful and glorious. That's how Satan was created. That's who he was. This is who he was. And then it goes on to describe, you know, what some of what he looked like, his outfit and what. Do you want to read that for us in verse 13?
Yeah. "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was adorned with every precious stone. Red carnelian, pale green peridot, white moonstone, blue-green beryl, onyx, green jasper, blue lapis lazuli, turquoise and emerald, all beautifully crafted for you, set in the finest gold. They were given to you on the day you were created. I ordained you and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you."
Okay, let's stop there. So we see that, okay, not only was Satan created beautiful, he was covered in beauty and then given a position that reflected that beauty. He was given authority. It says he was one of the anointed cherub who covers in my Bible here. So he was given authority, within the kingdom of heaven. He was right there in proximity, close proximity to God. You could say he was the closest angel to God. He walked on the holy mountain with God. Again, Satan could have everything he could possibly ever need. But still, at the end of the day, it says he was created perfectly, but iniquity was found in him. And this iniquity we saw ultimately in the book of Isaiah, this iniquity, this want, this desire to be like God.
I want to be like the Most High. I want to.
Now, what's really interesting, I mentioned earlier, we see in this passage that Satan likes making deals, you know, giving people authority and power and all these things in order for worship. We actually see that in this next verse. Do you want to read for us in verse 16?
"Your rich commerce led you to violence and you sinned."
Yeah, and it continues on. It says, you sinned, therefore I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. And we see this, you know, being cast down from heaven. We got that picture already in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 9 there. But ultimately we see, okay, the outcome of this sin and this iniquity that's in Satan of wanting to be like the Most High, the only way he can achieve that is through gaining influence of people. And he's doing it, it says, I love it here, by the abundance of your trading. He's doing it through making those deals. Hey, what do you want? Look, I'm an angel with authority. What do you want? I can give it to you. And this is what he was trying to do in heaven, and this is what he's doing to this day here on earth. You know, people talk about the concept of selling your soul, right? Satan will give you something in order, you know, for you to well,
it's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. For his worship. And it's worth it. I love what you're saying. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. Satan can offer you ease of life and good things in
short-term gain for long-term pain, yeah. Though, isn't it?
The long-term pain we're talking about here is complete separation for life. God for eternity. That is the long-term pain. Not being able to spend time with God for eternity, not receiving eternal life. But what do we look forward to when choosing God is that eternal life.
So how is it that we overcome this mighty angel that fell?
Yeah.
How is it that we can avoid trading with the devil? How can we overcome the selfishness and the pride and the jealousy within our own hearts? The answer for me is in Revelation 12, verse 11. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
They did not love their lives so much unto death.
Wow. That's powerful. And, you know, the ultimate example of this is, of course, Jesus himself, the original overcomer. In fact, the one you could say is the only true overcomer. Jesus having lived the perfect life, and he was given every reason by Satan. Hey, just, man, he experienced all the pain. He experienced all the temptation. He experienced even, man, Satan's mission is to win the world. Jesus's mission is to win the world. And he's there after 40 days of fasting, and Satan is saying, just worship me. And I will give you exactly what you want. Yeah. I will give you the thing that you want, the world, the people of this world who you came to die to save. You won't even have to go through with the crucifixion if you just worship me. And Jesus, he says no. Jesus, he gives his life.
He gives his life. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, through his sacrifice, by his stripes, we are healed.
Absolutely.
And by the word of their testimony. And this is what Faith FM is all about, sharing the testimony of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And the experience that Jesus then, he says, hey, I've overcome where you failed, I did for you. And we have that experience with Jesus through connection, through repentance.
Where you're weak, I am strong.
Oh, I love it. But then also furthermore, he says here, I love that, in our weakness, he says, I will empower you. Mm. I will empower you. I will work in your heart. I will work into mind. I will make you more than you are. You are limited and you alone, of course you're going to fall into Satan's trap. Of course you're going to do the deals. Of course you're going to
But I'll provide a way out where there's temptation.
That's
He says, I'll make a way out so you can stand up underneath it.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Beautiful song. That's epic.
Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show. We have a bunch of text messages that have come through that we probably need to read before we wrap up. So starting here, got Wayne. He said, who are good people, Jesus says? Why do you call me good? Only the Father is good. And I love this particular verse where Jesus is saying,
what standard are we using when we say bad things happen to good people?
Yeah.
Because it's all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Absolutely. Valmay wrote in, I loved this. She, you know, Valmay, one of our faithful quiz answerers.
Hi, Valmay.
She was looking for the answer to our last quiz question, which was
Days.
And which, you know, came from the Psalm. It was Psalm 139.
139, what was ordained and written in God's book before they came to be was our days
of our lives.
She was having a look for it, but then she just wrote, look, forgot the question, but I love the verses 23 and 24 of that Psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. I sing it often. So good.
Powerful.
So real. Hey, we got Simon. He wrote in, great response, Aaron. Gets me confidence that when I believe, repent from my sin and confessed, I will be given God's strength.
Amen, Simon. Thanks so much for typing in. You've also messaged in that you cringe when you're exposed to some things that maybe you feel are supporting Satan's power. And it's true. We should have sensitivity. We should have discernment that what types of entertainment or types of, you know, festivals we're supporting, who are they pointing people towards?
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, good stuff, guys. Thank you so much for texting in. Look, we have enjoyed our time with you on The Breakfast Show. Aaron, are you going to be joining us tomorrow?
Do you know? No. But I've really enjoyed these last 2 days. And Lawson, I love listening to your show with Scaffy, producer Shell. You're just in such amazing tunes come out of this Faith FM Brekkie show. And we really just want to pray a blessing over each of you as you go through your day. May God speak to you and through you as you learn more about him.
Yeah, absolutely. Look,
we pray for you guys after the show every day. So yes. If you have prayer requests or anything like that, make sure you send them through.
Hey, send them through. That's right. 0491-064-669. I think for me, highlight of the show, I loved our interview with Jennifer Skews.
Yeah.
Just awesome. Shout out Skewsy coming on the Brekkie show and telling us all about, hey, if you're not brushing your teeth, you need help, all right? If you're not...
was super practical.
If you're not drinking water, you need help.
Slowing down that chewing.
That's right.
Look, we've talked about a whole bunch of health hacks this morning. If you want to go back and listen to those conversations, just jump on our podcast or on our website, faithfm.com.au, and you can go back and listen to the conversations. Some really practical and relevant tips to each one of us.
And I think we kind of had a bit of a full circle moment because in your section, actually, we're talking about replacements and
substituting.
Good
health habits.
Finish our Bible study by talking about being overcomers. And I think that what we're the link that I see is that, hey, it's often making those steps that enable us to overcome. And it can be a process
That vice is, right? Yeah. If it's a search for power or fame or fortune we've made something else an idol, right? Yeah, that we're putting above God, entertainment, whatever it is. And I just think, God wants to be the only God in our lives and be the one that we seek first and foremost.
And you might be listening this morning and you might be thinking, like, oh, isn't that like narcissistic of God? Like, he wants to be the number one guy. But this is the thing, like, God is our creator, but we need to, the Bible gives us some great advice and it says, you know, judge them by their fruits. This is what the Bible says. And it's okay. The fruit of doing whatever we want and following ultimately Satan's way is sin and death and pain and suffering. And the fruit of giving God your life, saying, God, work through me, make me better than I am, help me to be a blessing, forgive me for my sin. The fruit of that is life, not only eternal, but more abundant today.
And I think growing God's kingdom.
That's right. And I love the testimony you were sharing, you know, your health journey and whatnot. And I can think of my own life and journey, producer Shell, and many people out there that are like, hey, from the moment that I decided to surrender up my life to God and to say, hey, God, help me to be an overcomer, that's when things changed for the better. Was the ride smooth and easy? No.
But your best health, both now and for eternity.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, we love you so much. We hope that you have a fantastic day. And remember to talk faith, to live faith, and to act faith, and you'll grow strong in Jesus Christ. You've been listening to The Breakfast Show.
See ya.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.